Well, thank you, John, for this opportunity to speak. And the first thing I'd like to say, this is Barbara Golden. I am the co-founder and currently co-chair with Tina Jenkins of MAFAC. And I'd like to say that although I didn't choose this role for myself, I'm not backing down from it. And also, although the title of angry has been put on me, I think that anyone who lives in this country, who is paying attention, who is not angry, is missing a lot of things. And so I pride myself on being a person who is very attentive to not just what is happening with students of color and their families, and not just with the educational system, but what is happening with our right to dissent in this country, and how those of us who are dissenters are often labeled as unpatriotic, un-American, and angry. And so I'm proud to be a member of that angry group of people who are standing up for American values. And I'm also standing up for the rights of African-American families and other students of color. And that's what MAFAC is founded on. I like to say that as a person who gets around the district, and not just as a parent, because I no longer have children who attend the public schools, but because I'm associated with research, grassroots research, grassroots activism, I hear from a lot of African-American parents and others that they are not happy with the status quo, and that some of us have gotten too complacent, that we think because people are not showing up at school board meetings, that because people are not showing up and speaking to members of the board or to the other staff or administration, that they are happy and content. I'm here to tell you that people are not happy. People, even when we say we close some of that achievement gap, it's still not good enough. It's like saying from people who have escaped from New Orleans that if you get a crummy apartment and a bad side of town, it's better than what you had. It may be better, but it's still not good enough. In this country, that's not how we measure what is good enough. We want for the least of us what is good enough for who we consider the best of us. And so I'm here to say that it's not good enough to say we have closed some of that gap. We need to have no gap at all. We need to say that every child in this district deserves what those who are from the upper middle class white families say that they deserve. We need to give that to every child.
Is there anybody else who has a question at this point? In the back of the room there, please. Why don't you, if you could come forward.
My name's David Mandier. Many of you know who I am. Maybe you run into me, and hopefully it's been cordial. But I'm right presently looking at a document from PMA Financial Network, Inc. It's entitled Financial Planning Program. And I have a couple of questions regarding this, which don't necessarily need to be answered, but how is it that they're doing it, and what's the cost? I mean, don't we have people in our schools? They delineate basically an estimated $8 million shortfall this year. If you go out to preceding years, 17, 22, 29, and 38 million out to 2011. This year we're going to make up that shortfall with approximately 90 cuts in the schools. About 50 of them are coming out of the classroom. If you interpolate out, you end up with around 100, 100, 200, and 250 for a total of approximately 650 teaching positions. As a teacher, how are we going to make those things up? We can't do it all by attrition, because when you have attrition, they never show up back in the classrooms. What are you guys going to do?
I'll tell you what. I do want a chance to comment on some of what Barbara has said, and we will come back throughout the course of the debate. They'll move to one of the questions that we came up with relative, I think, to the question from the audience, and that is to talk about budgetary priorities, class sizes. One of the other changes that is happening in a changing school district, of course, is also the need to build new schools in areas where there are more students, or perhaps to find other solutions. The need to potentially have students change schools because populations are changing, and yet not to segregate students. So now I managed to probably put about 2 or 3 questions out there. But let's start out with current budget priorities as you see them, and ways that the school district is cutting back at a time of limited resources, and ways you do agree or disagree with what's happening right now. And let's start on this end of the table with Juan Jose Lopez in C2.
If I may, 2 or 3 minutes on this?
Let's go with 2 if we could, please.
Are those real minutes or?
They're as close to real minutes as I can make them.
I still have that time she took from me, right?
Oh.
A couple of seconds. Anyway, the budget situation is probably the most critical issue on the Board of Education and any school boards. And the financial situation for every school district, including the 424 in the state of Wisconsin, is a very difficult one. It's very clear, folks. Either we cut or we go out to referendum. Now, it's not that easy, but it's very clear. We make the cuts, and you have a second-rate or a second-class type of school system, or you go out to referendum, and hopefully the voters will support it. But with that said, everybody then decides to look at, well, where do we cut so we could be lean and mean? We've cut over $40 million in the school district. And who does that affect? It affects poor kids, it affects kids of color, or it affects some of our most vulnerable learners in the district. What I propose, and I've done so, I'm sorry, not propose, what I've worked on is lobbying the state legislature and lobbying the governor. Fortunately, the governor has reinstated some money that would have even cost us more than cutting the $8 million. Now, remember, it's $8 million per year. It's not only $5 million a year, it's $8 million a year, and in some cases, it may be $10 million. Now, people say, well, cut here or cut there. It's easy to say where to cut. It's very easy to say where to cut, but you know what? That's not going to solve the long-term crisis that we have in the district. What's going to do so, from my perspective, is making sure that we're as a united board in approaching the governor and the legislature and other entities to provide money. And by the way, we have a grant writer that raises $3 million for us a year, but that's one-time money. It's not long-term money, and it doesn't replace tax dollars. The priorities I have, I will continue to support social workers and psychologists. I've been the champion of that on the Board of Education. I will support ESL or ELL learners, which is very important, and I will support also reading programs and training for staff that's very critical to the success of our kids.
And it was Juan Jose Lopez, now Lucy Mathiak, also running for C2.
Okay, I think I have a somewhat different approach, and I think it starts with a question relating to what Mr. Mandir said. Where was the Finance and Operation Committee and the board on this? Because as far as I can tell, there haven't been any meetings or discussions, and yet we seem to have some decisions on who's getting cut where. That's a problem for me. That's a huge problem. I work in a public educational institution where we have very active ongoing budget committees that look at every issue, including what areas do we keep strong, what areas do we protect, because we've cut them in the past, and I have not seen that focus and that discussion. We also look at what issues or what assets and resources we can put on the table. For example, there have been proposals that have been dismissed by some of the current members of the board and the administration to look at divesting the Doyle Building as a possible way of putting some resources back. Now, people say that doesn't solve the gap. I, again, don't have the luxury of saying that in my job. What I have to do is say, we have X amount of gap. We know that we need to provide these services. So where are we going to get? If it means putting one teacher back, let's put the teacher back. If it means putting 3 teachers back, let's put the teachers back. If it means creating some level of property tax relief, then let's find that resource. But let's not say we can't do anything before we've even had that discussion. I'd like to see a lot more engagement. I've been at the budget hearings. I've heard some great suggestions by district staff about ways to make the district work a little bit better with the resources we have. It's not going to solve the gap. We still have to go to the legislature, but we don't get a pass on making decisions until that state revenue cap has been addressed.
Again, that was Lucy Mathiak from C2, and now we'll go to C1, Arlene Silvera.
Thanks again, John. Yes, the state funding system is broken. This is not a quick fix. This is a long-term fix. I do commit to working with the school board, with the organizations in the city, grassroots organizations, and other school districts to lobby the legislature to try to get that changed. Otherwise, all school districts in the state of Wisconsin are going to die. That's long-term. Issue at hand. the $8 million deficit. I don't know at this point what I would recommend cutting or not. I can say right now that I will try my best to keep as many cuts away from the classroom as possible. And I know that's getting more and more difficult every year, as your numbers indicated. And why I say I don't know is because I'm in the process of gathering enough information, I think, to make good decisions. Right now you hear a lot of people say, well, that department looks big, let's cut it. Or we don't need that over there, there must be too many of them, let's cut it. Well, I don't make decisions that way. I make decisions based upon functionality. What does that big department do, and how does that tie in with the goals of educating all of our children? All of those lots of people over there, what are they doing, and how does that tie in with the goals of educating all of our children? I've been meeting with a lot of people. I've been talking with a lot of people. I'm trying to put it all together in understanding the best programs and the best people that support our goals. And, again, that's supporting the district's goals in supporting providing equal access to educational opportunities to all of our children, and that's how I will make my decisions.
All right. And Maya Cole from seat one, please.
Well, I think the two things that I support above all are small class sizes in the early grades and also in-class instruction, the teachers that are on the ground that work every day with the kids. We need to also, as a board, go back to what our set of standards are and values that we've set. We've set the third grade reading, we've set algebra and geometry and attendance, but I think we can do better. I think my experience has been when I've gone throughout the city and talked to individuals that we just aren't using our resources enough. I go back to whether it's the Room Parent Program or it's parent empowerment groups. In St. Louis, they had a situation where they were under huge budget constraints, and a father got a software program together where everyone in the community would volunteer. And when you registered your child, it's called Johnny Appleseed. Please don't shake your head. It's kind of annoying. Thanks. It's called Johnny Appleseed. It won a lot of awards. And what it did was is it took parents, and when they would go to register, they would be engaged to volunteer. And it doesn't mean that you do the kind of volunteering that I do. It means that you commit to your child's education. And I think that this is one step in the right direction. Some of the suggestions that I've heard from MAFAC, where we have parent rooms, is another step in the right direction. And so the budget process for me needs to be transparent and clear, and we need to be having these committees meeting more often so that we can actually generate revenue in the district.
Okay. As we close out the hour,